Welcome to the Devin Nunes Podcast, breaking through the political noise, separating fact from fiction. From the San Joaquin Valley, the breadbasket of the solar system, here is your host, Devin Nunes.
Welcome back to the Devin Nunes Podcast. It's my pleasure. I heard we've been hearing a lot about Rumble, an alternative to YouTube. I've been trying to bring all of you in the audience a different set of tech companies to use so that you can really clean up your hygiene so that you don't have to go through all of these tech oligarchs to where you're going to be censored, tracked, followed, data mined, et cetera, et cetera. So in this search to find other tech companies, you all know that we had the CEO of Parler on here. I am trying to be almost exclusively on Parler other than to try to go and save some of you that are still over on Twitter and Facebook, et cetera. So I'm continuing to get that message out to come and follow me at Parler, because that's where I'm putting up, you know, what I believe to be is my, you know, personal opinions and things that I'm working on. The only reason I'm using the tech oligarch companies is because I have to some degree, to reach some of you who haven't made the move over. In that search, one of the other problems we have, and I think the worst company, is Google, and they also own YouTube, because they control the search engines. But with this, also them having YouTube, I noticed that when I would post something on YouTube, I'd get a trickle of views. So it was almost like none of you out there were watching the YouTube video at all. And so I came across this company called Rumble, rumble.com. And Chris Pavlovsky, I hope I said your last name right there, Chris. Yeah. Rumble is a Canadian-based company. You also have holdings here in the United States, and I know you're doing a lot here in the United States. But Chris, welcome to the show. I always want to get just some background for our audience. You know, you're a young guy, and like a lot of these tech guys, but where were you born? How did you get into tech? And maybe walk us through how just the early starts of Rumble.
Yeah, for sure. But first off, I want to say thank you for joining Rumble and bringing your podcast to Rumble. I know it's only been like about two weeks now that you've joined. I hope that we're exceeding expectations on that front. And I also thank you for having me on your podcast to speak to your viewers.
You know, Chris, look, I'm not really a tech genius. And I would say that when you're out in the middle of a desert and you find just a drop of water, that's what it was like to find Rumble. Because with YouTube, you're essentially just out in a desert by yourself. Nobody's able to see you. You get no views. And so finding you, I don't know if you're the best company in the world, but you're a hell of a lot better than YouTube. So we're just happy to have you, and thank you for having a place that we could come just to have some type of freedom to know exactly, giving us a way to get this message out so that people can actually see what I'm saying.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. So a little brief history on myself. I was born in Canada. I've grown up in Canada my entire life. I actually started on the internet around 16 years old. So I've been an entrepreneur for more than half my life now. I'm 36. And when I first started on the internet back in 2000, 2001, the market that I was most interested in was video. You know, fast forward 20 years later, I'm still in video. So I've been in this spot for quite some time. And back in 2001, when I started, I was that typical entrepreneur in my parents' basement, coding websites, building websites that were curating funny video content and curating content for the masses. And, you know, over the last 20 years, I would say there's been only one major pivotal moment in video. And that was in 2006. So prior to 2006, there's thousands of websites popping up, stuff that I was presenting, other sites like College Humor and E-Bombs World. It was a really exciting time where tons of websites were emerging, including YouTube in 2003. And by 2006, there was that major pivotal moment in video. And that's when Google acquired YouTube. It was late 2016, I think November, if I remember correctly. And the internet changed forever in 2007 and 2008 once that happened. All the volume, all the traffic kind of got sucked up into this go-to platform. And from that very moment, YouTube was the go-to destination for anything video. So I had to step back and I had to think about what to do. And for myself, you know, it was about 2013 when I was really able to kind of analyze the industry and see exactly where I think we could have capitalized. So I launched Rumble in 2013, late 2013, early 2014. And it was due to basically two major deficiencies that I saw in the market, two major gaps. And the first gap was that it actually surrounded the little creator. It was all about the independent creator, people like me, yourself, filming at home, content that that we can produce off of our phones, etc. So the first major gap was copyright. I saw a major problem with copyright issues, and this existed on YouTube in the early days, and we can get into that later. But copyright was something that was never really addressed in the market. A lot of creators had their content stolen. Eventually, it was going on Facebook at a certain point in time, getting millions of views. And these creators were getting absolutely zero compensation and zero reward for their video. It was running wild on the internet. Their content was being stolen. And that's what was very popular at the time. So the first major gap I saw was like the protections around copyright. And I really wanted to tighten that up. The second major, I would say, deficiency that I saw, and in 2008 and 2009, if you remember YouTube circa, you know, back then, it was the front page was Charlie Bit My Finger. You'd get, you know, home videos, Charlie Bit My Finger, it would do a billion views. And it was a lot of content on this of this sort at the time. Go to 2013, that distribution for the little creators content significantly dropped. So, you know, from going to get billions of views on home video content to now getting like, you know, very, very small amounts, the little creator really had no way of making any kind of noise with their content by 2013, 2014. And it's ironic because now you get to 2020 and the internet now, you don't have a shot. You don't have a chance to have any of your content surfaced unless you're like a major brand, a major authority, or an influencer. And
Chris, let me just make sure and you know, this is the reason that we searched a different company out. Even if you are an influencer, you know, I'm an elected official. I have, you know, nearly 800,000 constituents in the heart of California. I've been the chairman of the Intelligence Committee. I'm the highest ranking Republican on the Intelligence Committee. I've been in Congress a long while, and I have tens of thousands of people who listen and download my podcast. And I wanted to make an advancement to do some video. I thought video would be another way to go. And at the time I thought, well, you know, I don't really use YouTube too much. You know, every once in a while I'd see a video on YouTube. I knew they were owned by Google. I knew there was a problem overall with Google censoring conservatives. They're clearly anti-Republican, anti-conservative. But I never thought that if I actually just started a YouTube channel, that somehow I would just be sitting there with only a few hundred views when I'm getting tens of thousands on the other side, along with my millions of followers, whether you're on my email list or that sewer called Twitter or Facebook or Instagram or now Parler. I never thought that I'm just sitting there going that for the first couple of months, I'm like, gosh, I guess all those platforms, nobody really likes my videos. I didn't know what the hell was going on because I couldn't figure out why I would have so many podcast listeners, but so few viewers on YouTube. And then I started talking to people like Dan Bongino had me on one time, and he was talking about how he was being demonetized on YouTube and conservatives were being demonetized. I didn't even know what the hell that meant because, of course, I'm not trying to make money on this podcast. Or in fact, I can't because I'm an elected official. I'm doing this to reach my constituents, the greater California, the greater United States of America, and then all over the world. And in fact, I always joke, but it's true, I have a lot of listeners in Canada. Maybe it's all of you at rumble.com that are listening to my podcast there in Toronto. But you know, this is a way, I needed to find a way to get around the mainstream media, the content developers, the creators, because 90% of it is clearly not what I would believe in and not the messages that I want to get out to people. Then when you shove that through what I call the disinformation funnel, and that gets to these devices, you know, you are getting a product that essentially Republicans, conservatives, or the little guy, to your point, you know, we're off the field. We have no way to compete whatsoever. And so as this went on for a couple months, you know, even though I wasn't demonetized, so to speak, nobody was seeing anything. And then when it got so bad, I finally realized people were telling me, hey, I Google your podcast and nothing comes up. And the only thing that was coming up was this sleepy little YouTube channel that I had hardly ever used. I'd had it for about 10 years. I don't know. I can't remember. It's like kind of my official account. All of a sudden, that thing went from like a few hundred subscribers to several thousand subscribers overnight. And clearly what was happening, and I really don't give a damn because I don't care about YouTube anymore, but clearly somebody was trying to just go to where I was putting up my news clips. And you still can't, as of today, you can't find Devin Nunes podcast when you Google, even though Google owns it and they own YouTube, and you can't find it. So I have noticed with Rumble, when I go to your site, rumble.com, I type in my name and my podcasts come up. Thank you. So yeah, that's all I wanted. I just want people to have, if you go to a site, you can find Devin Nunes and my podcast. That's all. I mean, I know that sounds wild to probably listeners and to you, but one of the largest companies in the world, Google, owning YouTube, I mean, they have silenced me and my ability to communicate to people all over the world. And it is so wrong. You can tell it just infuriates me. So like I said, you're like an oasis in the desert. And let's get back. I had to just go on that little riff there, but let's go back because I think people want to understand. So where we're at right now, you start this company and through 2013, how did you go about starting the company? Who were kind of your initial investors? And you're now in your seventh year, you know, how's it going? And where do you see this going?
So we started in late 2013, and we're not entirely Canadian. We got Americans as well. So on our board and shareholders is a split of Canadians and Americans. My mentor is an American. So we're pretty much 50-50 on that side. So we're both a Canadian and American company. We have, and we're both countries, and primarily we focus on the U.S. market. I spend a lot of time in the U.S. as well, but we've been here for 7 years now, and it's been, I would say, probably the proudest thing that I can say about Rumble, and it's kind of rare now in these days, but as a company, we've actually never received any financing from Silicon Valley. We haven't taken any money from any venture capitalist or private equity. And this has been a friends and family of Americans and Canadians coming together to build a platform based on those two principles. Generally, one principle is try to save the little guy and get them the distribution and the protections around their copyright that they deserve. So there's no outside influence on Rumble. Our mission has been the same since the day we started till today. It happened to be that from 2013 to 2020, things have changed dramatically. The political environment is really kind of exposing the problem in a large way. It's really come to the forefront. And I believe that, you know, when all these companies started, they all start on a different premise and a different mission. And then by the time they're really, really large and really, really big, all the interest with the venture capitalists and all these special interests there end up taking these platforms to a different area. And there's agendas, and then there's money making reasons, and there's a whole list of reasons why platforms do what they do. But one of the most proud thing about what we've done with Rumble is that we were completely bootstrapped. It's friends and family, and our mission has never changed. And we've grown a lot. We're near 40 people now. We've grown every single year, with the exception of a little bit of a setback in 2018 because of all the changes that were happening on the internet with Facebook and Google. And basically, we've all heard about all the changes in the algorithms that were happening on all these search engines and different platforms, and that had an effect on us. But since then, we've been growing pretty rapidly again. So, and then it comes to 2020, you're really kind of seeing people really take notice of the curation. The best way to put it is, these large companies are curating now where they never did before. They were open platforms. Now they're no longer open platforms. Like I said, 15 years ago, you'd get Charlie bit my finger on the front page. 15 years later, you're going to get only authoritative brand names that they feel that they can trust and that they feel is right in their opinion. Whereas with Rumble, we're going to stick to our core beliefs and we're always going to be there for the little guy. We're going to be there for the content that people want to see. And when you think about it, like, look at Snapchat, look at Facebook, look at TikTok, look at all these companies, and they're multi-billion dollar corporations on the backs of content that you and I create and put on that platform. And they're never the recipient of any of that revenue and any of that reward. It's just not fair, and that needs to be changed, and it needs to change. That change needs to happen, and I think that that trend is finally starting to take hold.
So, final question for this episode, because then we're going to have you back on for Friday's episode. But let's talk about how you monetize and help the little guy monetize, because as I've said, not being an expert whatsoever, but I have noticed that that is something that's completely different about your platform. And one of the what's amazing to me is the trending. Just the News, which is a new website started by John Solomon, who's been on this podcast before. A few weeks ago, we featured him in his new book. But I'm just shocked by the number of views. He's getting like hundreds of thousands of views on Rumble. It's incredible because for just an upstart news site, he's getting so many views. I mean, I'm getting so many views also there in the kind of the 1 week since I've really been up and operating on the platform. So explain to me how those small creators are coming over to you and how that they're able to monetize that compared to YouTube.
Yeah, so the monetization piece is actually a really interesting piece for us. I believe that's where we deliver a lot of value. It kind of ties into the copyright. So making sure that the user that we have the correct creator is really important. And once you have the correct creator, you can then really help that creator sell that content to a wider audience. So one of the things that we do for the little creator is that, and this was not available 15 years ago, is that like if it's on television, if it's on Fox News, or if it's on Good Morning America, or wherever it may be, all these broadcasters had an appetite to play viral videos. And they never really had the clearance and the rights to be able to do it until companies like us would help surface and identify those creators and give those creators a wider distribution net and give them the larger lion's share of revenue back to them for using it. So the monetization happens in many different ways. One is that we help them get that distribution with broadcasters. We help them get that distribution on other platforms. And then we obviously monetize it, which is the largest component for us is we monetize it within Rumble.com for where they can share with their friends and share the video player on their feeds and their audiences to generate further revenue for their content.
Well, Chris, thanks a lot for being on. I think that gives everyone just a flavor for the origins of Rumble, why you started this company. I really like that you're giving the little guy a place to go to and then obviously how they're monetizing. What I want to get into for the next episode will be how Rumble works, how to operate Rumble, some of the inside, if you could just give us a inside look at how somebody should, you know, join, sign up, that sort of thing. So this is Devin Nunes. Catch you in a couple days. Back with Rumble on Friday.
Thanks for listening to the Devin Nunes podcast. We invite you to subscribe so you don't miss a single episode. And remember, you can download this podcast on iTunes or at devinnunes.com.
Storm clouds been gathering so long, I don't know.
The darkness around us leaves no easy road.
We started wondering if every road dead ends our dreams.
Wind whips the dust up and rain's pouring down.
Good people struggling in every hometown.
We started wondering if we even matter at all.
Trial by fire like this.
It's nothing hard work and family can't fix.
We've got the power to save it all here in our hands. We'll take that hard road.
afraid.
That's why they call her the home of the brave.
With a prayer and a purpose, we're already half the way there. We'll take that hard road to happier days. Cause we've kept our American faith.
Paid for by Devin Nunes Campaign Committee.